Hello, it is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, your host, and we want to remind you, if you have a financial question today at all, you can call this line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888. I got ahead of myself too fast. I'll slow down. 1-888-6-ADVICE, or you can always email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. You can also call our studio line right now at 651-461-9226. Here is Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Hello, Peg. Hello, Susie Jones. Hello, listeners. Thank you for being with us today. Hey, Peg, you know, this year, 2024, had been, up until about the last 10 days or so, had been very good in the market and also very low volatility. We hadn't seen a lot of crazy roller coaster ups and downs, but volatility reared its ugly head again the last week and a half or so. And we were actually planning some of the things we're going to talk about today. We had kind of planned on talking about anyway. And then when the market sort of went goofy or got really volatile the last week and a half, it became even more timely, particularly timely. So today we're going to talk about the market. We're going to talk specifically about things like big tech, and we're going to talk about AI. But what the heck's been going on the last week and a half?
Yeah, we will give kind of a simplified version of what's going on here, because what's happening is we have to remind ourselves how the S&P 500, which is a big, broad index of 500 stocks, and we have to remember that technology or the tech stocks make up, you know, about 30% of that S&P 500. Now, one of the reasons, though, the markets have been so strong is one of the phenomenons, and we've had it for a long time, but it's starting to come to the consumer usage, is AI. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today, because it almost feels futuristic, Bruce, this AI. But yet, since it's been here for quite some time, kind of behind the scenes with manufacturing companies and all different types of companies, that I think it's here to stay. So that's going to be the highlight today, is what's tech been doing? Should you own it in your portfolio? What is AI, and how can that help us currently and in the future? Bruce?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things, Peg, that I've had clients asking me about, or prospective clients, and I've had this happen before. This is not the first time. So when the legalization, it may seem like I'm running, off the tracks here a little bit, but I think I'll bring it back. But when we first started to see the use of marijuana for medical purposes, medical marijuana, healthcare, then we started to see the legalization for recreational use. I had a lot of people, a lot of clients say, well, I should be investing in marijuana. And then when we saw the beginning of cybersecurity, Bitcoin and things like that, and people said, well, I should invest in Bitcoin. And now we're seeing AI. And so I think they're all related. When people came to me and said, I should invest in marijuana, or I should invest in Bitcoin or some form of cyber currency, my answer was, well, maybe, but it's not as easy as it sounds. And the example that I always cite, and I think it's relevant today, there's a lot of AI companies out there, and there's going to be a lot more. Well, if you go back to the invention of the automobile, we certainly knew as a society that we were not going to go back to horse and buggy. The automobile was the future. But at one time, there was over 100 car companies, and now there's three. And how did you do if you invested all of your money in Edsel? It doesn't exist anymore. So as society changes and we add things like, you know, cyber money, Bitcoin, marijuana becomes legalized, new technology like AI. Yes, AI is here to stay. Yes, it's going to change the world, how we live and work and invest. But I don't know how you pick which companies are going to have staying power. And you know, so it's not as easy as people think it is. And I think this market retraction or this market volatility of the last 10 days can serve as a reminder of things that we talk about all the time that remain true. In fact, it emphasizes that we still need diversification. We can't put all of our money in high tech or just a couple of companies. We still need broad diversification. And we still, because again, when the market retracted, a lot of people were, what do I do now? What do I do now? And again, our message is if it's long-term money, it stays in the market. You keep putting money into the market with your 401k contributions. And if it was short-term money and it was in the market, shame on you. It shouldn't have been, and you don't want your short-term money in the market. And that message that we talk about all the time has always been true, always will be true, and this volatility is an example as to why we say that. Peg?
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. I think that was a really good synopsis of how people should feel. I didn't get, you know, any calls because it was so fast, right? So the Friday before last week, you know, stats came out, unemployment didn't look good, and several stats were like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Well, the first thing that was mentioned was the Federal Reserve did cut interest rates, you know, soon enough. We can't, they're trying to, it's almost like a balancing act. When they start cutting, it is, it's just really tentative for the markets. They just go, oh, what's going to happen? Then when these stats came out, then all of a sudden the stock market just started to falter because they blamed the Fed. They should have started cutting rates earlier. So then the week went by, and lo and behold, we're almost exactly where we were at the beginning of the week. Another reminder, just like you said, Bruce, that, you know, this short-term volatility, if it is your long money, you should just be ignoring it. And one of the things that is providing kind of this ripple there is because when you look at those tech stocks, they were up 28-point-some% on June 30th of this year. I mean, that's a big number, right? So it's, even if it lost a little bit and didn't even recover, I would have been telling my clients and suggesting do nothing, you know, and we do believe that tech is part of the future. So when it comes to AI in a good way, I mentioned already early in the show, manufacturing, you know, we've been using robots. I always mention Amazon because I'm a big Amazon, purchase things through Amazon. And I just, every time I purchase something now, I just have this vision of these warehouses, and it's just robots saying, okay, Peg Webb wants this, 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 and this, and they put it in a box, and lo and behold, I can have it by the end of the day. I mean, that has been in manufacturing in many, many different ways. Healthcare is using it in diagnostics, research and development. You know, researchers are trying to understand more about the body. Every day I hear something really good news about medical that we can be ahead of knowing if we have something. I think not that we all want to live, you know, to 110, but at least they're coming up with vaccines and different breakthroughs that maybe will prolong life or, you know, give people who have some type of a sickness, a better life, you know, long term. Then when it comes to research, too, with AI is a lot of this climate change and optimizing energy consumption. That's a good thing. And then just large amounts of data and trends out there that they can kind of track. And I'm all for it. I, you know, at first I was a little scary with this AI, and a lot of people think of, like, we're going to create all these robots, And yes, there's some prototype out there that are going to replace humans. And I think, Bruce, you and I will probably still be around when that starts to be incorporated into our day-to-day. And one of the examples was on 60 Minutes, you know, quite a ways back. But what they showed is caretakers, like at nursing homes and things like that, where they just have to deliver the pills to the patient. And, you know, I know it's taking out that human component, but let's face it, in a lot of areas, we do not have the quantity of workers that we need to do a lot of these jobs. And so I'm a fan of the fact that we still need these services. And if we need those services, we don't have people, then the robot, you know, may be the way to go. Bruce?
So, Peg, you had mentioned, you know, how well these big tech companies had done up to the midway point of the year. And I mentioned at the outset that we had kind of been planning this show even before the market volatility of the last 10 days or so. And we originally were titling the show as Big Tech Stock Getting Too Hot, because it had done so well before this recent volatility. And I think you just did a really, really good job of talking about AI and how we've been using it positively in our society, and gave several examples. I think, you know, a lot of people use the technology that is AI and don't even realize it's AI. The one that I think of is, I don't know how I ever survived without Google Maps or without Siri on my phone to tell me how to get where I want to go. But I think that's, you know, partly AI also, or this, you know, these technological enhancements that we use every day, that we need every day. But a lot of people listening right now, and count me among them, are also sort of fearful of these technological advances. You know, we've all seen the old sci-fi movies where computers get so smart and they take over the world and they destroy mankind. And I think there's people listening right now that might have that fear, and I think about it also. I'm not going to lie. What would you say? You know, we've talked a lot about the positives. What are some of the things to be, I don't want to say fearful of, but cautious of, or what are some concerns about AI, Peg?
Well, the number one is just to influence human decision making. So we already talked some about that in our industry. You know, there's two kind of components of what we do. There's rules and regulations, and basically just facts that we adhere to, right? That we take seriously, that we make sure that the client is, you know, safe in our industry, meaning, you know, there isn't bad people out there that would suggest, you know, things out of the norm. And the reason I bring that up is because in that manipulation is, there's going to be a time period, Bruce, where we don't know what's real and not real. And now that people have some access to AI, common people like ourselves, I fear that they're taking those statements that they're getting from AI and research that is accurate. I think I told you on the radio show, and it might have been like a month or more ago, I just decided to ask AI for the very first time. And my husband said, well, tell me a question. What question would you ask? I said, well, what's the Roth contribution for 2024? And AI got it wrong. And then they had the wrong dollar amount. And so they had it for 2023. And so you can actually tell AI, hey, you got that wrong. So if all of us humans tell them they're wrong and they'll get their database correct, that's going to take some time. So my coaching to clients and just to everyone I know is you can't take that as if it's, you know, a fact. You still have to, you know, research and make sure that your numbers are accurate. So that's, to me, that is, we still have a little ways to go. The other one is, you know, in all industries now, there's some fear that they're going to take over all of our jobs, like financial advisors. And once again, I am such a big believer in human component of, you know, having relationships with the clients and knowing them well enough that we give advice where they don't have compassion and, you know, the need to get to know you and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I want to take that baton from you a little bit. I think that's a really good point. I've heard that as we, you know, AI and other technological advancements are going to destroy jobs and we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot and we're going to have really high unemployment. But I think, and again, I've said many times on this show, I am certainly no technological genius, but I've read on this a little bit. It's going to eliminate some jobs that are currently done by humans, but it's going to create maybe more than it eliminates. And it's a question of, as a society, can we re-educate, retrain, and find people for these new jobs that will be created because of these technological advancements and enhancements? And again, you know, we never want to go backwards. You know, from the time when we wanted to land on the moon or whatever the technological advancement was, we've seen these enhancements and these inventions and discoveries throughout history, and they enhance life, but there's always, you know, fears and there's always unintended consequences, and you know we have to look at the positive and how it hopefully is far more significant than the negative. So what is all this? We've got a couple minutes left on this discussion. What does this mean? I think people listening right now are going, well, this is all, you know, well and good, but what does this mean to me as an investor? What does this mean to what I should be doing in my 401k or my IRA or my investments, my retirement plans? What do I need to know about this? Should I be looking for, you know, these tech companies? How do I buy these tech companies? What are the right ones to buy and so forth? How would you characterize this discussion, Peg, and bring it home to being relevant or useful to the consumer or to our listener?
Yeah, well, just like anything else, you mentioned some of the innovations over time. We've been in this for decades and have seen a lot of change. This one, I think, is going to be very impactful and in a positive way, meaning not only positive in what we're going to utilize AI for, it also is going to be positive in our rates of return. I think this is the way of the future. Hence, the S&P 500 has a large position in tech kind of companies, and I think we're only scratching the surface. So what I would say is, large companies are going to have volatility. Individual tech type of stocks are going to have volatility, as Bruce mentioned earlier, which ones are going to survive. And then also, I think if you're patient and it is a long-term investment, you will be highly rewarded, because this is something that is massive. This is a big change. And all of you out there who want to grow your money long term need to participate. And I think the S&P 500, everybody out there listening probably owns all these stocks because you own the S&P 500. So that's a good thing. You're well diversified. Bruce?
Yeah, and the other thing I would mention really quickly, Peg, is people seem to really focus on the most recent. I know, because I've had this asked of me in the last week and a half. Some people have the perception, because of what's happened in the last week and a half, that things are awful, that things are terrible. Oh my gosh, what do I do? But the reality is even before the recovery of the last few days, even at the worst of the retraction about a week ago, the market was still considerably up year to date. The first half of the year was fantastic. 2023 was fantastic. And again, long term, history has demonstrated that participation in stocks rewards investors over the long term. Yes, it can be negative in the short term. Yes, it can be volatile in the short term. But long term investors historically have been well rewarded by exposure to stocks. And let's not forget what stocks are. It's ownership in companies. And if we're investing in smart, innovative, well-run companies, those companies will increase in value over time. Now, again, picking the right companies that are going to have staying power and be here, the AI companies that will be here 50 years from now versus the ones that won't, I don't think individual investors know how to do that. So, again, That's why people like you and I in Wealth Enhancement exist, to do that research and to choose the right investments going forward. Peg, I know we're about due for a break, but I'll give you the final word. In the second half, we can let listeners get involved.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you want to, you can try to fully understand all the usage of AI, da 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 da. But part of it is, too, that the tech has done really, really well. But if you look at the stats for, like, the last couple of weeks, well, two things. The dividends, a lot of these companies now, these tech companies, are paying dividends. That's very new. And then, secondly, the value stocks, those old, you know, Procter & Gamble, Lila, you know, Lilly, those kinds of stocks have been doing well in the last couple of weeks. So it is good to just have a balance of both, right? Growth and value, and make sure that you're just staying with it for the long term.
Yep, diversification. Susie, I know we're due for a break. Let's take it. And
get our listeners on the line, 651-461-9226. If you're listening and you have a thought or a question, we really want you involved in the show. 651-461-9226. Love to hear from you after this short break on news on WCCO. Welcome back. It's Your Money on, and we are back with you, and want to remind you, if you have a question for our guest today, 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Once again, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer, welcome back to both of you.
Thank you, Susie Jones. Thank you, listeners. If you joined us late, Peg and I have been discussing the recent market volatility. We've been talking about big tech companies. We've been talking a lot about AI and what it means to all of us as investors going forward. And just quickly to kind of highlight the first half of the show, we talked again about if you're a long-term investor with a long time horizon. If it's your 401k, your IRA, you're in your 30s, your 40s, maybe even your early 50s, and it's a decade or more before you're going to spend this money, the majority of that money should still be exposed to the stock market. But you don't try to find just the one or two right companies. You diversify, have a lot of companies in a lot of different sectors or a lot of different asset classes, including technology, but not only technology. If it's short-term money,
Peg, sounds like
short-term volatility.
Sounds like we're having a little bit of trouble with.
Did you lose me?
We did, Bruce. We lost you just a little bit. I think Peg is still on the air. Is she following along? Yeah, Peg?
Well, Bruce, are you there?
It sounds like he's dropped down for a minute.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know what happened on my end.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we can hear you. We can hear you, Bruce.
Bruce, go ahead.
Well, I was just kind of recapping the first half of the show. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, Peg, we talked a lot about AI, and we talked a lot about diversification and long-term money staying in the market. I think some of the things, though, that we didn't talk about that I think we should, and then again, Susie's right, we want to get listeners involved. And by the way, listeners, it does not have to be just on this topic. We'll take any and all financial questions. Last week, when Peg was out, Peg, I talked about reducing risk in your portfolio as you get older, as you get closer to retirement. And I had a lot of questions during the week about that. So people might want to ask us about that. But just to finish, kind of to tie a bow around our topic today, I think that, again, when things go bad in the short term, people tend to overreact and get a negative perception. I've had people that are convinced now we're heading into a recession, which I don't think we are. People were already negative because it's a presidential election year, and people lose their minds in presidential election years. So there's a lot of reasons why people are nervous, and I just don't see it. When I look at the fundamentals that we look at, and of course you can never predict what the markets will do in the short term, But when we look at fundamentals, we look at the consumer price index. We look at low unemployment. We look at corporate profitability. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but again, it doesn't matter, even if I'm dead wrong and the markets do horrible the rest of this year, if it's your long-term money, it's highly likely that the markets will be much higher 10 years from now. So people tend to overreact in the short term, but maybe underestimate over the long term. When we look at technology, we look at AI, I don't think we can fully understand the capabilities and how life might change over the next decade. We can only see the immediate future. And Peg, you talked a lot about, you know, how companies are using this technology to enhance efficiency, to enhance profitability, which serves us well as investors. But I don't personally think there's going to be a recession this year. But again, even if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter because long-term money stays exposed to stocks. Short-term money should never be in stocks. Peg, I know I'm forgetting something. Anything else you want to make sure you talk about to convey to listeners before we get them involved?
Yes. One of the things that's happening, and this is not only clients, but also just all the people I know who I talk to, we're all, you know, focused on the value of our investments today. Who wouldn't be? I mean, we're thrilled, right? It's just been so good now, especially in the tech area. And so what I'm finding is there's more conversations about people that do not want to go backwards. I feel like it's kind of in a heightened state right now where, well, I watch it now that I have technology. I watch my net worth every day. I look at it every day because it's easy. It's on my iPhone or accessible. So I think that's a trend that we're not accustomed to either, where people just say, okay, yeah, I'm so excited that I have this much money, but they're just not taking into consideration that when you invest long term, it is going to have some corrections along the way. So, and especially people who are nearing retirement, they feel like this is, and they, if it's 6 weeks, if it's 2 years, they feel like you have to be in the height of the market when you retire one day. Well, if that's the way you're planning, that's probably not a good way to plan. You should have planned for a long time. But if you haven't, it's not too late because you still have the rest of your life. We actually coach people through their mortality, not through an event like retirement. So I just wanted to remind all the listeners that we are going to go backwards eventually, you know, and I don't know how backwards we're going or how long it's going to last, but we're accustomed to that. But even though we've had that happen so many times, people just today, I think it's much more in their face because you're able to take your entire net worth and look at it every single day. And then that creates an anxiety. And there's people out there too, Bruce, that certainly feel that right now we should be able to pick the day that we should get out. And then that's easy, right? But then they also still feel we should be able to pick the day they should get back in. And I can tell you from decades of experience, that is just not possible. So a couple things. Bottom line is you have to be patient. AI, I think, is going to be the be-all, end-all for all sorts of reasons, and it's going to be a huge evolution, and I think it's going to be as big as the computer itself that we had one day. But that takes time. That takes time to kind of get that to penetrate through all the different things that we talked about today. And if you are one of these people that get nervous when the markets are high, you know, go get help. I mean, either from a friend or if you don't have a financial advisor, or lean on your financial advisor because they have a lot more insight, you know, on what's going on. And they know you. They have their arms around you. And so I just don't want people to make the decision, especially this year with the election too, just some, quick decisions that they're going to regret later. Bruce?
Yeah, I think we covered everything in the outline. Susie, if we're getting listener questions, let's take those. And again, they don't have to be in today's topic. We'll take any financial question.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question for Bruce or for Peg about anything you just heard in the last 45 minutes or something that's on your mind. Maybe you're nearing retirement and kind of were sweating it out as the market dropped dramatically. And as they both said, the market is much higher than it ever has been. So where do we go from there? A texter did wonder, though, to both of you, they wanted to know if Wealth Enhancement Group also have dealer brokerage members. Can you kind of address that, how you work as an organization?
Hey, Peg, I'm not sure what the texter means by dealer brokerage members, but we can talk about Wealth Enhancement and how we're structured and business model and hybrid firm and that sort of thing.
Yes. So there's, I'm not sure what the context of the question is. I mentioned in the show earlier that we have lots of rules and regulations, and it all is to protect the consumer, which I'm a big fan of. So Wealth Enhancement Group has a couple different types of ways of doing our business. One is broker-dealer, and the other one is RIA, Registered Investment Advisory. You hear about those in the marketplace. A lot of time it's a byline. You know, when a company is advertising, they're either a broker-dealer or a registered investment advisor, or in our case, we're both. And all it is just a little bit different, separate set of rules with both. And you may say, well, why do you do both? Well, broker dealers offer individual products that have, different compliance rules. So annuities is one that's under a broker dealer. They could be, different underwriters that broker dealers have. But individual stocks can go under broker dealers. But the registered investment advisory is a little bit different in that we take what's called discretion. So if our clients work with us and we manage their money, we take what's called discretion, meaning you have given us some license to be able to trade for you and manage your money for you, where on the broker-dealer side, that's not quite as prevalent as it is under the registered investment advisory side. So not many clients really want us to go into the weeds, on one versus the other, but they want the understanding that there's a lot of oversight and for the safety kind of the consumer within our industry. Bruce?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is the bulk of our clients are in the registered RIA side of the business where they've given us discretion. And I think some listeners might think, oh my gosh, if I give my advisor discretion, if they can make changes, if they can make trades without my permission, am I giving them a license to steal from me and overtrade or churn the account? And our structure is such that our fee is a percentage of the assets under management. So we are highly incentivized to see the client do well. We do better when the client does better, and we don't have any incentive to make unnecessary trades because we don't charge for the individual trades. So I think the registered investment advisory, which most of our clients are under, the way they compensate us is as fair to both parties as it can be. But the other thing, Peg, that you mentioned on the broker-dealer side, there are firms that emphasize the fact that they don't do broker-dealer business, they don't do commission-based products, and they hang that out there as though that's a positive thing. We're a fiduciary and we don't sell products that pay us. Well, in comprehensive financial planning that we do, sometimes we uncover a need for more life insurance or long-term care insurance And the client wants that and needs that, and they can get that through wealth enhancement. That's going to be on the broker-dealer side of the business, not the RIA side of the business. But I think that's an important component in comprehensive financial planning. And the fact that we get paid if they acquire that product through us does not make it bad advice or is not a negative to our firm. It just makes us more comprehensive and more thorough. And we try to be, you know, as close as possible as we can, a one-stop financial shop. So I'm glad the texter asked about the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And wealth enhancement is a hybrid business, and that's our business model. And we're very comfortable that we're still always giving our clients the best possible advice. Susie?
Yeah, 651-461-9226. The texter writes, do I have to inform Social Security about anything if I'm still working and I have insurance with an employer and I am 65? Does my HSA deposit have to end when I'm 65?
So, Peg, there's a couple different questions there, and they're all good ones. HSA and the texter is focusing on age 65, I presume, because that's when they're Medicare eligible. And then there's the issue of Social Security, which could be 65, but oftentimes isn't. And in Social Security, there's something called full retirement age, and you don't have to wait until full retirement age to draw Social Security. You could take it as early as age 62. So there's a whole plethora of questions in that short little text. Peg?
Yeah, the question about informing Social Security if you're still working, and I don't think they mentioned, and they don't want to go on Medicare because they mentioned I'm 65. So this question we get a lot because people are confused, and rightfully so. I think if you read a lot of the instructions on the Social Security site, they work really, really hard to try to make it simple, but yet it's kind of like, if this is this, then that's that. But if this isn't this, then you got to go to this other thing. And, you know, so it gets to be complicated. So health savings accounts are something that you want to try to secure as long as you can and contribute to, because it's the only vehicle where you actually get a tax deduction and you get to grow it tax-free. And when you get to take the money out, you get that tax-free. So it's just a triple whammy on the good side. So health savings accounts are a good thing. Well, you should notify Social Security that you do not want to take Medicare if you want to continue with your HSA. There also is a time period where they would like you to notify them if you're going to go on Medicare, you know, and when you're going to go on. And so what I recently had this with a client, and the wife is actually still working. The husband is not working, and he's older, so he turned 65. She's still contributing in the HSA, actually for as a couple, you know, married, filing jointly. And so they were able to put $8,000 in there. So it was a big decision for them, and they wanted to continue with the HSA. So in this case, when the husband contacted Social Security, they actually put him on A, which everybody gets the hospitalization. They put him on that. But the woman that was working is still able to put the HSA dollars in for the full amount. So that actually is something that comes up a lot. And don't hesitate to contact Social Security, too, if you have questions or your financial advisor on what to do. In this case, these clients had a medical insurance broker that they worked with for a long time. So they contacted that person as well and got some information. So just do your homework, Bruce.
Yeah, and there's so many. That's a really good answer, Peg, but there's so many things that still we didn't even touch on. You know, the health savings account, and you mentioned, you know, you get a deduction for the contribution. If the withdrawals are for qualifying health care expenses, you don't pay taxes on the gain. So you get a deduction and potentially tax-free withdrawals. And the one of the things to mention about the health savings account or the HSA, people wonder all the time, when do I use it? When do I pay for things versus when do I don't? And there's no right or wrong answer to that. But generally speaking, most people pay the small stuff out of pocket and they save that HSA for the big stuff down the road, maybe getting a hip replacement or a knee replacement or whatever. But if you never have that big ticket item, another beauty of the HSA is if I keep track of my expenses that I pay out of pocket, I can actually take a withdrawal from my health savings account tax-free to reimburse myself for those expenses. So keep records, people. If you're paying for things out of pocket and not using your HSA, keep a record of your expenses because you may be able to take a tax-free withdrawal to pay yourself back. And then the other thing, and again, these things are interrelated but can be independent, Social Security and Medicare. And when do I go on Medicare? And it's tricky. Most people do it at 65, but there can be extenuating circumstances, spouses still working, different ages. And again, just in the past week, Peg, I had a couple clients that had this issue of when do I draw Social Security? And they didn't understand the difference between taking it before full retirement age versus waiting until full retirement age or later. And if you're still working and you're not yet full retirement age, it could be detrimental to turn on that benefit. Now, when is full retirement age? It's different for different people. But if you were born in 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. If you were born before 1960, between 54 and 60, then it's going to be 60 years and some months. So I was born in 1959. My full retirement age for Social Security is 66 years and 10 months. And knowing when that is a big deal in determining when and how you take your benefit. But there's a lot of stuff to unbundle there, and we could almost do a whole show on that. But unfortunately, the clock on the wall, Susie, tells me we're about out of time.
That is right, but we appreciate everyone that texting in today, and there were some that we did not get to. So if you had a text question for Bruce or for Peg, we invite you to go online and text that same question to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Again, yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. You can also call 888-6-ADVICE, and someone there will answer that call and get back to you with an answer to your question. Make it a great day. Make it a great week. We'll see you next time. Your Money.